Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ground Zero, celebrating by loving the movement, hosted by Anaya Betts and Reginald Clemens. We celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and activist groups whom have led us further away from slavery and closer to full freedom from mass incarceration through efforts in justice reform and in society at large. If you'd like to call in today's show and ask any questions or make any comments, please call in to 657-383-1630. That's 657-383-1630. Today we're going to be talking about, today's show is the post-traumatic impact of executions on the family of the condemned. And we have a live witness who was the clergy to Raheem, brother who was executed, and he's kept in touch with his family and everything, and he's going to give us a blow-by-blow account of what happened and how it's been and what the impact been in the post-effect. And just one of the things we'd like to highlight is the treatment of the condemned prior to the execution, leading up to the execution, and the impact of the death penalty on the victim's family as well as on the condemned's family. Now, what I would like to do is make you aware that tomorrow on the Shedding Light Network, there's going to be an interview about the Juneteenth boycott. There's going to be a Juneteenth divestment boycott against the corporations that support and profit from the prison industrial complex. Because in the United States of America, the United States prison system is, by definition, slavery under the 13th Amendment. So slavery didn't end except for incarceration. So slavery under the government still exists. And there are people that are profiting from it. And that is a direct practice of slavery. And I've said it in the past, and I continue to say that our efforts with this radio show, our efforts with the AA Trust Fund, is to fight against the corporate Confederate agenda to maintain slavery, in other words, by other means and other names. And that's what they're doing with the prison system. That's what they're doing with gentrification out in society at large. And that is one of the things that is a drive. Poverty is a driving factor in crime rate.
And this call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
African Americans are not naturally poor. We are driven to poverty. And I hope and expect that Anthony Shaheed will be calling in a few minutes, and we'll get right into what's been going on. And he'll also be on the show tomorrow on Shedding Light, where we'll be talking about Juneteenth and why we need a divestment boycott.
We got a 0903 number. Is that Shaheed? What's up?
Yeah, this is Brother Shaheed.
How you doing?
I'm doing black task and black and never some. Walaikum salam, Ramadan Mubarak.
That's what's up. I'll let Reggie let you introduce yourself, Shaheed, and give it to everybody. Okay. And by the way, this is Anthony Shaheed's second time on our podcast.
Give me the name of your show again.
Ground Zero. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'm ready when you're ready.
We ready.
Yeah, we already live. Baby. We already live.
Oh, okay. People said we already live. Hey, bro, Shaheed, well, I've been throwing out prayers so I can stay alive. So I want to start with prayer.
I'm explaining to the people that we was talking about post-execution impact of death penalty on the victim's family as well as the condemned's family. And I explained that you were Raheem Leonard Taylor's spiritual advisor. Yes, I was just wanting to go over some of the things that went on.
Okay. I would be honored. First of all, I want to thank you for inviting me on your show, but I can never speak until I start off with a prayer. So without any hesitation, any reservation, I seek refuge in Allah against the enemy of God and man. With the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, I bear witness that nothing in creation deserves worship or praise except for one God, and that's Allah and Allah alone. And I bear witness in all of his prophets from Adam to Muhammad, peace be upon them all. Thank you for inviting me on Ground Zero. You and your whole staff, Brother Reginald Clemens, a.k.a. Brother Kadir, I'm honored. And, yeah, this is a very important topic that you're talking about, but it's something that's been happening for a long time, and I'm just thankful to Allah that you're giving us the chance on your radio show to be able to put it out. Brother Raheem Taylor had asked me to be a spiritual advisor, and these people were so racist, because you know, for years they got a highway up there called KK Highway, and it's really ran by the Ku Klux Klan. And I'm not sure if you talked about that yet, but I've seen the Ku Klux Klan myself in Fort. They just didn't have the white uniforms on; they had the other uniforms on. And I can tell you for a fact, brother, they wasn't concerned about his religious rights. But you know that from you when y'all was up there praying. And while y'all was praying, they came in and made you. So they don't care anything about our religious rights. Islam has been an attack. But normally when a person is on death row, normally, if your spiritual advisor comes in and he wants to be with you when you've been executed, once you know that you're going to be executed, and they bring you from bond terror to, bring you from Potosi to bound terror and know that you're going to, you know, be executed, they normally let you have your last wishes. He asked them that I be there with him to say a prayer. And, you know, be there with him, just to be there with him, to show him some type of brotherhood and, you know, give him some spiritual words just before it happened. And I be damned them white folks told him, not no, but hell no. You know, and they wouldn't even let me in Bon Terre to see him a week before the execution. They executed him, I think it was February the 7th, if I'm not mistaken. But a week before that, I drove all the way to Bon Terre and had an email showing that I was there to visit him. And I'll be doggone, after I came to visit him, them white folks seen my name and told me to get off their damn property in that order. And I went to say, well, who can I speak to? They said, get off our property. That's what you can speak to. Go get off our property. Admit it. You know, so they executed him a week later after they pushed me off their property in Bon Terre in Potosi. I drove to Bon Terre to talk to him once or twice, but they asked him to what was his last wishes, and he said he wanted me to be there with him to say a prayer. And they just straight said no, and they executed that brother with nobody there other than the people that were there that was happy about seeing him being executed. An innocent man. An innocent man. That's the other thing we need to say. Innocent man.
Innocent. With evidence of his innocence, clear evidence. Yeah, one of the things that I remember about that was when they thought they was going, it was his execution was going to be certain. It was nice to him and cordial and a little bit more considerate, as considerate as a racist class that can be towards a black man that he about to hang. And then when he started getting some media attention and it came out that there was evidence that he was in California at the time that the murder happened, I've got reports understanding that their attitude towards him changed after that. They found out that he might be able to prove his innocence.
Well, and they were still dealing with the Attorney General and them trying to get a stay because of the different things that had came up, and because he was turned down his religious rights. They was debating on what was going to happen. Then white folks told him at 5:55, we don't give a damn about nothing. We're going to execute this man. Whatever y'all doing, that's fine, but you're going to do this after his death. because we're going to execute him. But it just shows you he's just one probably in the last year or so. They probably executed 7-8 people. And this is what they're doing. And most times people don't pay attention to nothing. And, you know, this is something that I do all the time to your radio listening audience. Unless if they're family members, they don't give a damn about that. They just listen. But they ain't tell it their mama. And they, if they can shut their eyes and see their mama or shut their eyes and see their daddy or their son or their daughters, until they can shut their eyes and see one of their daughters being executed or one of their sons being executed or their mom and dad, their nephew, it's like they don't register. And this is where the problem comes from. And that's why I'm so thankful to you, because if you think about it, you were on death row. And Allah bless you to come off of death row. So you
know. Execution. And one of the sick things that I heard he experienced, that I experienced also, that makes absolutely no sense, and to say strictly in cruelty, right, is I'm behind the glass, and they got me in 4-point restraints. Well, 4-point restraints mean is my ankles are shackled. On my visit, I'm visiting behind the glass. The glass is already secure.
Yeah.
That's already secure. That's security
that's
enough. But I'm visiting behind the glass. I got on shackles on my
This
hands.
Call is from a correctional facility
waist.
And may be monitored and recorded.
With my hands handcuffed to the waist chain. And I got a
waist
down to hold the phone, to talk into the phone with my hands handcuffed to my waist.
They did the same thing to him.
That
shows you
acrobatics of it.
Well, it shows you how inhumane
that is.
Reggie,
Anthony
Shahid was saying something.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying about all this is what you're saying, and the people have to understand, you're already behind barbed wire fence. You're already around razor blade at the top of the fence. You already, when I got off that highway, brother, because it was me, they said I was a high-level security threat. They had people from the time I got off the highway to the time I got to that prison. And every which way you turned, they had groups of 7-8 of them there, and they were just riding around the parking lot. But I had to go through at least 7 or 8 different barricades of guards or whatever you want to call them, some Klansmen, to get in there just to see him. And then he in chains, and then he behind bulletproof glass. I said, these white folks, man, you know, because we got to say what kind of folks they are. These are white folks. These ain't no, you know, people say red. I don't care if they red, green, blue. They ain't never seen no damn red, no green, no damn blue. I got to watch
right.
What I'm saying. I'm on a Ramadan. But I'm just saying, these are white folks that's doing this. These are Ku Klux Klan doing this. They're just probably in 1990. I know it wasn't 2000. Whenever they executed a person, they were still burning crosses on the lines there, and they had to tell me, hey man, y'all can't keep burning them. Am I right? Am I correct?
Wow.
Yeah, they were burning, every time they executed a black man, they burned the cross right outside the prison on the prison grounds.
Wow.
Yeah, wife had to tell me, hey, y'all got to pump, you can't do it like this. You know, that's how we do things, but you can't, you know, we got to pump, you know, it's a different time, and they said Trump ain't in office yet, because during that time, Trump wasn't there yet. You know, other than that, they would have did and wouldn't have had no problem with it. But they tell them, who can't, you know, y'all can celebrate. You can't burn crosses on the lawn no more after you execute a black man. You know, but it just shows you the mindset.
Do it in the woods like they always. That's what they do.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad called it down when he said a white man is not a devil. He called him the devil, and then he put some more flavor with the skunk of the planet Earth. And the only way you can get rid of a skunk smell, you have to burn it or bury it. And that's the problem they got. And the problem they got with a brother like you and me, they can't break us. We're unbreakable. And when you got a man who fears Allah, just like now, we're on Ramadan for the brothers and sisters. And I want to say Ramadan Mubarak to any brothers and sisters that can honor the sound of my voice and pray Allah that this is our 19th day of fasting, that you're fasting. But and you're reading your 1/30 of your Quran every day. But this is where the problem comes in, that once you worship God and believe in God and have your faith so strong in God, you cannot bow and bend before men. And that's why their problem is. Their problem is they got to have somebody to call them master. And they not our master, so we don't call them master. And that's a problem because they figure they're not worried about a house when they catch on fire or a forest when they catch on fire. They worry about that forest, how it's going to spread. They worried about black men like us and brothers Fred Hampton and brothers like that, Kwame Ture and George Jackson. That's what they're concerned about, black men like us that talk like this. They want buck dance and buck jump and butt kiss and butt sniff and won't scratch when they don't itch and smile when they don't grin. They have a problem with black men, but they really got a problem with a Muslim, a strong Muslim who don't fear nothing but Allah. That's a problem for them, and that's why they came in there where y'all was praying. Because she was devoted to Allah in your rock house and you praying and giving to Sester. That's why they came there, because they said, if y'all keep on praying like this, this is going to set a presidency where everybody else will come through here praying like this. Another 75 or 100 years from this would be something that will never stop. That's why they came in on y'all.
Yeah, and that happened February 28th, which was Black History Month. February 28th, 2021. There's a lawsuit still pending in the court right now. Yeah. That's still being pushed. It's gonna come out. Everything, all the evidence, proof is gonna come out, because a lot of evidence has been collected thus far. There's more coming. Just like they just did to in the Al-Aqsa of Mars. That's what they did to us down in that racist friend of my
term.
We harping on the Klan because it's the fact. It's them the facts. And what you have in the United States is you have a Ku Klux Klan death camp. And I want people to bear in mind, when it comes to lethal injection started in Nazi Germany.
That's right.
They started the lethal injection practice in Nazi Germany. So its racist roots is rooted in the massacre of the slaughter of Jews, massacre and slaughter of Semitic people. So they have a racist bias, hatred towards Semitic people of the Semitic faith. They keep soaking the flames of the conflicts and different things. I don't get all off too far off into that, but I want people to understand that the set and the atmosphere. That this
you're talking about what?
They witness their hatred.
Yeah, you're talking about their actual fact. These are the same people who brought us here as a people and sold babies, women, and children. You can't, and broke up families. Anytime you sell a baby, and if you couldn't sell them, you put them in the water, and that way you can catch you some crocodiles, so you get some crocodile skin. But you sell a woman, a child, can you imagine what they do to a mother? Any mother that's listening to me, imagine it's your child right now being sold from you to another area, and if they better not have been 10, 12, or 13 years old, then white folks would have fun day on, and then not only them, that's where the word playboy comes from. It better not have been a nice-looking young boy, because they practice what Solomon Gomorrah taught to the fullest. They seen a little fat boy. He was in trouble. They'd rather have them little boys than they have them girls. So this is their history, tar and feather. They talking about what Al-Qaeda and some of these other people doing. If they doing anything as far as tar and feather and anything cool treatment and boarding, waterboarding, whatever, they learned it from these damn white folks here. That's where they learned it from. If they doing anything that's cruel, they learned it from them and some of the retardos that came from Germany and some of them other countries that they brought over here and let just go buck wild on our people when they came through, because they opened those jails up and sent some of these white folks over here. And you can see the condition of our people. We're dealing with some people that are bipolar by nature. They freaks by nature. I'm telling you, their mamas is freaks. Their dad is freaks. They have sex with their own family, especially them Jews, just to keep the money in the family. They'll kill their mom and daddy for the money if it ain't nothing. This ain't no joke. This is reality. It ain't nothing they won't do for some money. They'll kill their mama, their daddy, everybody. These are the people that came through and broke us down, because we were people. I just got back from Africa. We were people who had culture and had real. Go ahead, Sophie. You trying to jump in there?
No, I was just letting you know that Reggie is going to have to
Thank
end up calling back
Security.
Real quick.
Goodbye.
I got a question to ask you is, so when we get into these small towns of where these prisons at, who governs those prisons? Is it the city or is it the state?
I don't know who governs, but it's like Frank James or Jeff James. Some of that stuff I don't know, so I don't want to invent no answer. But I can tell you, it don't make no difference. Them white folks is who governs it. Whether it's city, whether it's state, whether it's international, there's some more devils and some so-called Jews that's running things. And it's like Frank James and Jesse James. Frank James don't give a damn about what the happened. Frank James wanted to make sure that Jesse James left something for him to steal or to kill. So it don't make no difference who it is. It's like the fox and the wolf, you know, at the hen house. It don't make no difference who gets you, the fox or the wolf. All of them are devils. All of them are born liars and universal deceivers. Nobody else have ever dealt with people like this in the annals of history. It's always been some people dealing with slavery. We're not the first people that were enslaved. Don't get me wrong. But we are the first people that have been totally slaves, totally annihilated from A to Z, taken from our language, taken from our religion, taken from our God, taken from our folk ways, our moral ways, taken from everything, totally stripped of everything. We like, when you take a person from culture, we are talking about today on the phone by 345 numbers that I want to give out to what I was reading. Culture is something that protects you. If you don't have culture, it's like not having clothes. It's like being buck naked somewhere. It's like a fish you're taking out of water. When you take a person away from his history, his mystery, because white folks got a history or his story. We don't have no story. We have a mystery, and our mystery is so deep. You know, the only people on the planet Earth that would accept anybody, because we was used to having black people always to albino, because two black people can make an albino. So when the white folks came, we just thought they were some albino-looking people. We didn't understand who we was opening the door from. This is worse than the Freddy Krueger, this TV program, or Friday the 13th, or Chucky. These white folks are some real devils, and they manic depressant, they bipolar, and they some retarded honkies that's been dealing with us as a people, and they Ku Klux Klan orientated. So even the ones ain't Ku Klux Klan, they white Aryan movements, they all of that, they all them names that Trump's them come up with, they Trumpsters. Did I hear my brother come back here?
Yes, he's back. What does the Quran say about defeating and turning this age and cycle back around from the hand of
Allah tells us to fight with those who fight with you. We don't start now, but Allah encourages us to fight in the Quran. Allah says sometimes you hate a thing that's been put on you, but it's good for you. Allah tells us never to be the aggressor. But he said that when people are attacking you for no other reason, anytime somebody attack your women, and you just like what they're doing with Sister Kim Gardner, I'll just switch for just 1 minute.
Right.
And then they also send black slave masters, because they haven't sent Tashara, who ain't number the buck dancing Negro. They sent Vernon Best, who's another buck dancing, a butt licking, a butt kissing, a butt sniffing, the guy that's here so fucking the white folks behind. They send them out, but they sitting really like they raping herself in public, because she sitting and talked about a white governor that was having sex in his wife's house, in his wife's bed, and handcuffed his tip drill kid and his hood rat white girl in there, and took some pictures of this, let me use a religious term, because I am on Ramadan, this whore lot. That's a dignified way of calling her a hoe. Because anytime somebody messes with another man's wife, she knows this man was married, and she knew she was in a married woman's house. He was wrong, but she wasn't nothing but a tip drill hoe. That's what she is. You mess with anywhere, I don't care how you dress it up. If you're messing with a married man and you know he's married, he's a hoe. You can dress it up any kind of way you want to, but the religious term for it is whore lot.
Right.
That's the same thing they're doing to Sister Kim. They're treating her like she done did something wrong because she told this white man, you know, that you in some trouble and went through the process with him. And they say, you done lost your damn mind. Jennifer Joyce didn't do this. Joyce D. Hayes didn't do this. George Peace didn't do this. You supposed to be on our side. They had a problem with her talking about Lakeshaw selling dope and drugs for years to black community. And anything him or anybody he dealt with, they came at him and wouldn't take his evidence. Then white folks said, hold up, we got to get you out of office. We can't have nobody stand up like this. Notice they don't have no problem with Wesley Bell. Wesley Bell don't have no nuts, no balls, because he won't stand up to them white folks. You ain't heard him say not one word on nothing. Because him and all them drug dancing Negroes, including Tashara Jones, that she's owned by the Leisure Gang, but there's a guy named Rich Callow. She's owned by white folks. Tashara, she's owned by white folks. And the Leisure Gang, those are some gangster punk white boys in this area. It's supposed to be some gangsters. They ain't nothing but a group of punk white boys that everybody's scared of. But they ain't nothing but a group of punk white boys. But they got the Leisure Gang got this guy named Rich Callow. Is the advisor for them. So that's who Tashara got her head up in his behind, and she can't get it out because it's stuck.
Mm. Yeah, I feel you. I feel you.
And that's something that people need to also understand is when it comes to, like, marching somebody to the gas chamber, marching somebody to be hung or shot to death in an execution, they don't start in the execution chamber. But you get people that are knowingly executed who are actually innocent. It starts in these corrupt networks, these corrupt systems within the governmental structure.
Yes, sir.
These are individuals with corrupt relationships. These are individuals who are beholden to other people within the system of corruption.
Man, most of these people that's in charge ain't other than pedophiles.
What happened to Ellie right here in Missouri, it happened to Judge Ronnie White right here in Missouri.
Yeah, that's right.
But they removed him for bogus reasons.
Yeah.
So when you go on the trial as a black man with no money, or you ain't got hundreds of thousands of dollars to be paying a lawyer, everybody can't afford a dream team. But it takes a dream team for a black man to get a fair trial.
More than a dream team.
Everybody be missing. It took a dream team for a black man to get a fair trial. Guilty or innocent, that's what it took for him to get a fair trial.
Wow.
One lawyer is not enough.
Huh? Well, they executing Sister Kim Garner. They just doing this lethal injection a different way. It's not done with a needle. It's just trying to constantly attack her calves. So I'm really glad you're talking about this death penalty and the cruel treatment. They don't even have no business even shooting people with the stuff they shoot with them injections. Well, that stuff is outlawed. They don't even supposed to be using this stuff. This is what they don't tell nobody.
They use an animal tranquilizer on human beings. That's illegal.
Yeah. But it ain't with them, because as long as nobody talks about it and don't have a show or a platform like what you're doing and talk about it, they can get anything off that you let get off, because most people ain't paying no attention to it because it ain't one of their children. It ain't until it's a family member or somebody they know, their girlfriend's son or something, that they get involved. Other than that, they play first base safe. They done got on first base and they won't steal. They're not like a guy named Lou Brock. Lou Brock was such a baseball player that when he got on the base, he stole every base. And if you didn't watch him, he was still home. He wasn't but a thief in baseball and for stealing bases. When they get on first base by mistake, they just walked on base. I mean, they threw four pitches, and none of them was across the plate, so it wasn't a strike. So they got on. Dang, you ain't got to never worry about them. Hell, they damn near tag up. If somebody get a base hit, they don't even know they're supposed to run. They could, long as they okay.
And may be monitored and recorded.
Yeah, so I'm thankful to Allah that you have this program. I'm thankful that you would invite me on Ground Zero. And I believe you're going to let me come on your Shedding Light tomorrow. Am I still being invited on your program tomorrow, Shedding Light? Or is someone else's program that you're still dealing with?
That's been made known. And yes, you're definitely invited. And God willing, inshallah, we'll have another guest on there from the Juneteenth Committee also.
So
I appreciate you, brother. And yeah, thank you for...
Reggie, real quick before time runs out, give the time of the next podcast tomorrow, and we'll close it out with the boycott.
Okay. Yes, tomorrow on Shedding Light Network, our phone number is 657-383-1630. On the Shedding Light Network tomorrow at 5:30, between 5:30 and 6:30. That's Tuesday from 5:30 to 6:30 tomorrow. It'll be me, Brother Anthony Shaheed, and somebody from the Juneteenth Committee, too, so we can talk about the corporate Confederate agenda and the investment boycott.
That was a real Ku Klux Klan there, but you take that to the bank. They just, you remember, they don't wear the KKK outfits no more. They're the new judges and the new doctors and the new lawyers and the new prosecutors. You know, they just took their roles back.
The whole the echelon.
Mm-hmm.
They just switched their costumes now. You know, they're just the more devils in some freak outfits, because that's all they are. I mean it, like I said, them white folks kill their mama for money. Yeah, they kill their mama for some money. There ain't nothing these white folks want to do for some money. They just, that's how, when you go to some of these places, you can buy whole lots of horse. When it comes to money, they ain't nothing but first-class horse. Well, not take it back, they some stock. Yeah, they some stock.
They definitely chop it up tomorrow.
Yeah, let's chop it on the, but I'm going to talk.
At
5:30. Okay. Well, I want to be able to. I appreciate you being on the radio program. I'm sorry, I'm going to say Ramadan to everybody, and thank you for inviting me on your radio show. Thank you so much. I will be on tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much. And thank you all for
listening. May Allah bless you. As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters. As-salamu alaykum.
Peace.
Wa alaykum as-salamu alaykum.
Peace. 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 Peace.